At Church on the Word, we're building strong families on the Word of God. It's our desire to be a blessing to you. COTW messages are available to you at no cost. Feel free to listen and share with your friends. Now here's Pastor Rennie Ohl with this week's message.
Oh, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, why don't you hug somebody's neck and y'all may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wasn't that praise and worship great? It was so, so good. The children may go back now. Well, they're ahead of me. They're heading out. They're getting out of Dodge, aren't they? Well, you know, I'm so excited about what today is. Roughly 2,000 years ago, our Lord and Savior came into Jerusalem. He came for the Passover, but what I'm going to show you this morning, He came for a lot more than just the Passover. It was the time of the Passover, and at this time, huge crowds of people knew Jesus. They knew Him, some of them as a prophet. To others, He was a teacher. To others, He was a miracle worker. I am sure that if I had been one of the ones that He laid hands on and healed me instantly, He'd be my miracle worker. Can I get an amen? Amen. But so He was all kinds of things to different people, but He was greatly known. There were huge crowds of people that followed Him everywhere and saw exactly what He did, and they were firsthand witnesses. And I want to take you through what happened the day of Palm Sunday. You know, we see in the Word of God that it was the first day of the week. Well, to us, that's Monday. But back then, the first day of the week was Sunday. And so this really truly happened on this day of the week. They were praising Him and they were shouting and Hosanna on high. They were, you know, laying down palm leaves on the road. That's why it's known as Palm Sunday. And they were laying their clothes on the road. Just all this excitement and all this was going on. And yet this was really, truly His last week, not even a whole week, that He was on this earth as a human being, as a man. And you see, there was so many people that were praising and worshiping Him as He was coming into Jerusalem. But He knew that by the end of the week, they would reject Him. And there's so many people still today that reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But see, back then, there was so much hope in the Jewish nation that, you know, He was going to set them free from the Roman oppression. And they misunderstood so much. His mission was not to provide political liberation, if you would. What His purpose was spiritual liberation. That's what it was all about. But see, they didn't see it that way. They were oppressed by the Roman government. They were being paid taxes and this and that, and they were not of the Jewish faith. And so they were hoping and believing for physical and political freedom. That's not what Jesus came then for. Now, this next time He comes, it's going to be a different story. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's going to be a whole different story. I want you to go with me to Matthew, the 21st chapter. And this is the story of the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And I don't want to take it out of context because I'm going to read about 16 verses here. And then we're going to talk about it. I'm going to show you some things that maybe you had never seen before, maybe you never thought about before. I know as I was preparing for this, it was ministering to my heart, and so it was for me. But now I get to share it with you. Oh, amen. But anyway, let's just start in verse 1. It says in verse 21 of Matthew, it says, "When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethanage, on the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples," and those two disciples, theologians, I don't know how they know this, but they believe it was James and John. But anyway, He sent two disciples, saying to them, go over to the village opposite of you. Immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and he will send them immediately. All this was done to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble, sitting on a donkey, and a colt, the foaled of a donkey. Verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their garments on them, and he sat on them. A very large, not a large crowd, a very large crowd spread their garments on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went before him and that followed him cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the entire city was moved, saying, who is this? The crowd said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Verse 12, it says that Jesus then went to the temple of God and drove out all those who sold and brought in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. The blind, verse 14, and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wondrous things that he did, the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were extremely displeased. I think I would have said they were really, really mad. Extremely displeased. And it goes on to say, and he said to them, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read out of the mouths of children and infants, you have perfected praise. Now, a lot just was happening this day. I don't know if you realize it or not, but when Matthew gives us the account of this story of Palm Sunday, there are at least five Old Testaments that are quoted that were fulfilled that day. That day. And we're going to look at those five because it's important that we understand exactly what was going on and why the things that happened that day. And the first one I want to look at is Zechariah. Zechariah, the 9th chapter. As soon as I get to it, the 9th chapter, and it's verse 9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, and cry aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and able to deliver. He is humble and riding on a donkey, a colt, the offspring of a donkey. So right there we see that Zechariah's prophecy was fulfilled by Jesus on Palm Sunday. And now we're going to go to Psalms, the 18th chapter. Psalms, the 18th chapter. As soon as I get to it. And this is the second prophecy that was fulfilled. This is written by David. In the Psalms 18, and we're going to look at verses 26. 18:26. Hang on, I got to find it. 118. What am I saying? 18. I was only 100 verses, chapters off. It's no big deal. Yeah. In Psalms 118, verse 26, it says, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord." So blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And that's exactly what they were shouting. That's exactly what was happening. Now, I want to look at in the New Testament. If you would, let's go to Luke, because there's something here I want to get across to you. Luke quotes pretty much the same thing that Matthew did, but there was something that he added that was not in Matthew, and it's something that Jesus said. And we're going to look at verses 39 and 40. This is again about the Pharisees who were mad, and they were, you know, really upset with him. And some of the Pharisees came from the crowd and said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus answered, telling them, "I tell you, if these should be silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Now, I got to thinking about that. I thought, well, that's kind of an odd thing to say. But Jesus knew the Old Testament. He knew it forward and backwards. And he knew the prophecy of Psalms 118:26. And that's why he could say, because of that prophecy, if these don't sing out and praise out, I guarantee you the rocks will do it. Because he knew that it was prophesied in Psalms by King David. And he knew it was going to happen. And that's what he told the Pharisees. "I tell you, if these should not, if these should be silent, then the stones will cry out." Glory to God. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Now, also in Isaiah, I think it's important that we turn to these and look at each one of these. But in Isaiah verses 6 and 7, what did I say? 56. I make sure I get these right. Amen. In chapter 56, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Also the sons of the foreigners who joined themselves to the Lord to serve him." Anybody got a hint who the foreigners are? It's us. We are the foreigners. We are the Gentiles that came into the body of Christ, became sons and daughters of Abraham. "Also the sons of foreigners who joined themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, to everyone who keeps from polluting the Sabbath and take hold of my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them a joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings that they sacrifice shall be acceptable on my altar, for my house shall be called the house of prayer for all people." Right there, it's, you know, he said that, you know, "You've turned my house, the temple of God, you've turned it into a den of thieves, and it is called a house of prayer." So you see, can you see what's going on here? Can you see what's happening? And in fact, in Jeremiah 7, verses 8 through 11, it says, "Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. You will steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely." In other words, you'll be lying. "Burn incense to Baal and walk after other gods whom you do not know. And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and said, 'We are delivered to do all these abominations.'" Wow. "Has this house, the house of prayer, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves?" A den of thieves in your eyes? "Behold, I, even I, have seen it, saith the Lord." Amen. In other words, he was seeing what was going on in the temple of God. He was seeing what was happening in the heart of Jerusalem. Amen. Now, one more passage I want to go to, and that's Psalms, the 8th chapter. I know we're bouncing around a lot, but this is so important because these are the prophecies that he fulfilled. And starting in verse 1, "O Lord, our God." This is also another Psalm of David. "O Lord, our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies to silence the enemy and the avenger." You know who the enemy and the avenger is? It's the enemy, it's the devil. "To silence him out of the mouths of babes and infants." I don't know about you all, but when I got to thinking about the day of Palm Sunday, so much happened that it was just not, it wasn't just him coming into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. It was so much more than that, so much more. Hallelujah. These five Old Testament scriptures were all fulfilled in one day. One day, they were all fulfilled. And to me, this is what I want to get to today. To me, they seem to outline the course of our born-again experience. Let me give you some more details. In Zechariah 9:9, it says that he entered the city. Christ enters our lives and our hearts, and it's a grand event. Can I get an amen? The day you got born again was a day that just totally changed your life forever. And here he is, he's entering into the city, and he's entered into our hearts now. Praise God. In Psalms 118, it says in verse 26, "Blessed is he who comes." After being born again, we are filled with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. We're excited that he came into our lives. Can I get an amen? And you know, it really causes us to have such a humble experience. He entered our hearts, and we want to thank him for it. We want to praise him for it. We want to shout, "Hosanna!" Glory to God. Because we know something has taken place on the inside of us. We know that. We all of a sudden, our lives are changed. And all of a sudden, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things we have to walk out physically. Right. The way we talk, the people we hung with, you know, the things we did. All of a sudden, those things didn't seem right anymore. all of a sudden those things really didn't, it made you feel terrible on the inside. That was God cleansing your heart. That was you wanting to have a different life than what you were experiencing. Amen. Isaiah 56 and verse 7, it says, we are the house of prayer. The first thing Jesus did when he came into the Jerusalem was to go straight to the heart of the city, to the temple. Amen. Now, you and I are the temple of God. You and I are now the temple of God. Isn't that exciting? Oh, hallelujah. And in Jeremiah, it says that the devil made his house a den of thieves. He began to start throwing things out. How many in here have had things thrown out of your life before you gave your heart to the Lord? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So in other words, he went right straight to our heart and he started throwing things out that he didn't want. I have said this so many times to this congregation that when people get born again or people walk into these doors, it's not our job to clean them. It's God's job. He will clean. He told us to catch them. He didn't tell us to clean them. Amen? And that's exactly what happened with us. When I gave my heart to the Lord, there was a church of 300 people, and you know how many of them were trying to clean me up? I mean, I felt so filthy when I left that church. I thought, Lord, I mean, I had a lot of cleaning up to do, I know, but I didn't need them telling me. I was already dealing with some things. And that's not our job, is to beat up people or to remind them of their past or remind them you shouldn't be doing this and you should be doing that. No, we're not told to do that. We're told to catch them. God will clean them. Amen.
Amen.
And that's something that I think we need to really get a hold of. Sometimes Christians, they feel so superior that they're way up here and they're looking down on the world. We got to stop doing that. That isn't what God called us to do. God called us to love them right where they were. And that's what he did with me. That's what he's done with you. He loved you and I right where we were, even though we needed a lot of cleaning up. But this passage where he goes straight to the heart, where he went to the temple of God in Jerusalem, and what did he do? He started cleaning house. He started cleaning house. He said, my house is called the house of prayer. And that's what we should be. We should be prayer warriors because now we're not who we were. Now we're who he wants us to be. And that's with all the junk still in us. Some of us had a hard time letting go of some things. Some of us still do. None of us are perfect. We all have got to walk out our own salvation. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he started throwing things out of the temple. My, I'm so glad he did us. So you see, Christ came to Jerusalem for a lot more than just the Passover. And then in Psalms 8:2, it says that out of the mouth of his children, God has ordained us to praise him, and when we do, our faith and strength comes into our hearts. You see what I'm getting at about the comparison of what took place that day in Jerusalem is extremely, and I don't think it's a coincidence, the same thing has happened in our lives. It's the same thing that has happened in our lives. He has cleansed us. He has made you a house of prayer. He has taken the things out of you that He doesn't want there. And we all had them. And you know, it's just too amazing to me that these five Old Testament prophecies, literally, you can take them personally for yourself. Amen. The house of prayer, the den of thieves. Of course, I'm not riding on a donkey, but I have rode horses. I imagine most of you in here have. He was blessed those who come in the name of the Lord. And that's what we've been doing. We've been blessing Him, thanking Him, praising Him for everything He's done for us. Are you seeing the correlation, church? You see that what happened on Palm Sunday is precisely what has happened in our own lives. You know, that's why I think that this passage of Scripture is so, you can make it so personal. Because everything that Jesus did that day, all five of those prophecies, well, four of them anyway, have changed our lives. The same thing He did in Jerusalem and the temple of God, we now are the temple of God, and He's done the exact same thing in our lives. He's changed our lives. He's caused us to wake up. He's caused us to see things that we had never seen before. He causes us to understand that we're His children now. He changed the entire direction. Before you got born again, you were in the family of the enemy. The Bible says He was the father of lies. And that's who you and I, that's the family we were in. But when you got born again, oh, hallelujah. Now you're in the family of the Father, and you're in the family of God. Think about it this way. Everything that took place that day, thank God it did, because it has changed us completely. We were going down, now we're going up. We were in the family of Satan, now we're in the family of God. We don't have to worry about whether we go to this building or any other building, because you and I are the temple of God. Isn't that great? And God is still cleansing us. God is still in the business of cleaning house, if you would. And we all need it. We all still have these shortcomings, these emotions, these you know, feelings, if you would. We got to get rid of them. And it's not always that easy, is it? It's hard sometimes. If somebody comes up and punches you in the face, you're going to turn around and let them have the other side? I don't know if I can do that. I want to punch back. How about you? God's still working on us. God's still trying to clean us. We are the temple of God. And because of that, He wants His temple to be a house of prayer. He wants His temple to be clean. He wants us to get rid of all the junk in our lives that doesn't need to be there, that is not... Think about it this way. When it comes to your children, do you want them to have all kinds of problems or all kinds of attitudes or all kinds of anger issues or whatever? No. You want that all out of them. How much more does God want His children to be a temple of prayer, to be a house cleaned? Can I get an amen? Does this make any sense to you all? So you see, Palm Sunday, him coming to Jerusalem for the Passover, that's just incidental. Everything he did that day, everything that happened that day was prophesied in the Old Testament. Isn't that exciting? And that's why he said, if the children aren't going to praise and glorify me, the stones will. He knew what the Word said. He knew the Old Testament. He knew everything that was going to happen that day. And not only that, but he had you and me on his mind. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He knew this was the last week, or not even a full week, of his walk as a man on the earth. He knew what lied ahead for him. He knew what was going to happen. And it did. But aren't you glad that he didn't back out and head out of Dodge? Aren't you glad he willingly went forward knowing what was lying ahead for him? At last week, if you study out the Scriptures, and all four Gospels bear this out, that last week he taught his disciples, that's you and I, that was his disciples at that time, he taught them more that week than all the time they were with him. He taught them on how to be a servant. He washed their feet. He taught them that I won't be eating or drinking this again until we do it together in heaven. I mean, he was teaching them so many things that week. He cleaned out the temple because he knew that you and I and his disciples were going to be the temple of God. I mean, everything that happened, it was for a reason. It was for a reason. Hallelujah. Church, do you see how important you are? I heard Patty, when she was receiving the offering and doing the announcements, I heard her say that without you all, we can't make things happen. We all have got a part to play. And not only in the building of the body of Christ, the church, but in what we do out there on the highways and the byways and our workplace. It's not easy sometimes when you're out there in the world because the world laughs at you. The world mocks you. The world says you're an idiot. Keep your mouth shut. I don't know about you, but I've experienced that. And I know some of you in here have. It's not easy. But look what Jesus did. If what we do is not easy, can you imagine how hard it was for him that last week? Knowing what lied ahead. Knowing what he was going to do. You know, there's a song, and I can't remember, I'm not going to sing it, but it says that when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Do you realize you and I, 2,000 years ago, in fact, theologians think it was Passover of A.D. 28 when he was crucified. Do you realize that you and I was on his mind? You know, I remember the passage of Scripture where it says, in fact, it's the shortest scripture in the Bible. It says Jesus wept. He looked over the city. He was looking over people. And he said they're lost as lambs without a shepherd. He's still looking over us. He's still weeping because of all those who haven't accepted him. Because of all those that are still to this day rejecting him as Lord and Savior. Tammy, would you come on up, sis? You see, if none of you showed up today, we can't have church. You are the church. We meet at this building, but you are the church. Each and every one of you are the church. Each and every one of you are the temple of God. And each and every one of you still today, and me included, we need to be cleansed. We need to have junk thrown out of our lives. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand together.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. If you were encouraged by these audio clips, please let us know. Our email address is cotw@crosstail.net. If you're looking for a home church, we'd love to have you. Our address is 1511 North Highway 64, Warner, Oklahoma. For more information on our ministry, including service times, go to churchontheword.net.